Welcome to this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we have a guest in studio to discuss issues and innovative ideas around blended learning in health professions education. So this week we're going to focus on how blended learning and apps and technology can support students beyond the classroom. With us in studio is Azola Khalo from the Office of Student Success in the Faculty of Health Sciences at WITS. Welcome, Azola.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to have you in studio.
Thank you for having me.
It's really nice to start thinking about apps and technology a little bit further than just what it does for student learning, but more how it has an impact on students' mental health and the way that they are able to engage and support their learning process. So can you tell us a little bit about your role in the Office of Student Success?
So the Office of Student Success, we call it the OSS, provides support to students. So there's the therapy team. They provide therapeutic support, one-on-one therapy, and also facilitate group sessions. I'm part of the academic support team, and we help students develop their academic skills. So, of course, WITS attracts a lot of smart talent from all over. But once they get into university, they have to figure out, how do I navigate my academics in this context? So what we do as the academic advising team, we offer one-on-one sessions that students can book. We also offer small group sessions. So you don't just have to come on your own to say, hey, please help me with time management. You can actually come in with your friends, a friend or two, in case you need the boost in terms of confidence. We also have asynchronous sessions. We also have a health science student success zone, which is a platform where we upload asynchronous sessions on certain academic skills. So we also have our synchronous sessions, and these are often face-to-face, but they do also happen online. And these are usually requested by year coordinators or lecturers, and this is where we also get to collaborate. So in a nutshell, that is what we do as academic advisors.
Okay, but you've now got an online platform as well. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what it offers the students?
So with the Health Science Student Success Zone, we upload activities that students can work through, perhaps, you know, like on procrastination, academic writing and reading, on time management, as well as study skills. So students can go through this site at their own time and at their own pace.
So is it mainly a program for first-year students, or can they access it at any time? I mean, is it something that is an ongoing process?
So it's ongoing, and the target is really all students. So there's definitely a large focus for first years because of that academic transition that they actually need to make, right? But we do also tailor content for second years and third years. And what we don't necessarily go into in terms of the support side, we do cover in the one-on-one sessions.
Okay, so I think it's quite exciting that we no longer have to only have a support system where the students have to physically go somewhere and knock on a door.
Yes.
They can access as they need it resources.
Yes.
Through this online platform that you've developed.
Yes.
I think, what is the need? Like, is it shifting? We've had some years with COVID. Mm-hmm. We have a schooling system which is not necessarily in line with what happens when students walk into a university education environment. What shifts have you seen, and what have you had to change in the way you present online content and learning materials for the students in order to support their learning?
You know, this actually takes me back to when blended learning wasn't there, right? Mm. So you would spend a whole lot of time preparing a presentation so that you could speak for close to an hour, right? And then, you know, COVID hit, and it was like, hey, you need to support students on an online platform using online resources. Now, you know, when we were still doing face-to-face presentations, you would talk, and then ask any more questions, and then, you know, they'll be, oh, no, we're fine. Okay, let's move on. Now, with the introduction of moving online, blended learning, is that the cameras aren't on. So you're not sure if the students are following or anything like that. The introduction of blended learning allowed you now to have a pulse on where the students are understanding the content that you're giving. So now, although you've prepared all this content for an hour, it's really to facilitate engagement as opposed to, hey, this is me telling you this. So you could now online have a session and then 10 minutes in start to have an activity. And that allows you to give you a sense of, are students there? Are they understanding? Can you move to section two? You know, and I mean, one of the great things was you're able to also have these breakout rooms without booking a venue. So for me, that was definitely, it was definitely a highlight. So what blended learning really brought was this engagement during student support. That was current and now. And when we were face to face, you had to wait for an evaluation form to get a sense of, no, we didn't understand this. No, the objectives were not met. So I think for me, that shift made it really amazing.
So now that students are kind of coming back to the campus and classroom, have you gone back to doing it all face to face and just adapting it a bit, or are you still really focused on having this online environment to engage with the students?
So I still absolutely love face to face, but with health science students, it's not always possible because they're always so busy, right? So we are doing some online, we are doing some face to face. I try face to face as far as possible, but then we're using platforms like Mentimeter and Padlet because you still have your introvert students, right? Mm-hmm. Who are afraid to say, I don't understand this, or this is what I was struggling with. And then as they see other people's responses on the board, they realize, oh my gosh, I'm actually not alone. In our one-on-one sessions, we find a lot of students who think they're the only people going through the challenges that they're going through, right? So once you put them all in a room and they know everyone else, I mean, these responses aren't made up. We gave you the code in the session. And they start seeing, oh, wow, other people are also experiencing this. Other people are also struggling. Because obviously with this faculty, we attract students who are stars in matric, right? Yeah. And when they get here and they start failing, they think it's just them.
Yeah.
So using these interactive platforms has really increased engagement. But obviously, it also depends on the types of venues we have, because even though we do use those platforms, we do try split them into groups and get them going in terms of discussions.
And I think, you know, underpinning academic performance is these critical skills that the Office of Student Success ensures that our students develop.
Yes.
The time management,
yes.
The study skills.
Yes.
So what sort of activities do you do with the students to really hone that in? I think academic literacy even is different to just knowing how to use a computer.
Yes.
So what are the kinds of things that you facilitate?
So what we first started to do is when a student shows an interest, so they get to book for their, let's say, one-on-one session on our booking system, Microsoft Bookings, and then they indicate, this is what I need help with. So time management, study skills are the most prominent, right? And then I send them a link and I say, please go on our support site, which is HSSC, as well as Helping You Learn Online, which is Hilo, and they've got some really great materials there. So I like to work with a strengths-based model, getting the student to get a sense of, no, you can do this. You actually have what it takes. You just now need to tweak it for the context that you're in, right? Mm. So obviously I assume that they've gone through the material and they've gone through some of the activities. And this is something you generally find out through the conversation when they come to the session. So there's a nice quiz developed within Hilo where a student can get a sense of their time management style. I absolutely, you know, love it.
I'm going to go and try it myself now that I know it's there.
Because, you know, they ask these questions that get you to introspect what it is that you would do in this scenario. And it's like sort of like MCQ type of question. So that's something we do. I also use the Eisenhower matrix around time management, where students can take their to-do list and, you know, check what is urgent, what is not urgent, and things like that. The nice thing is students are also up to date with certain apps. So, you know, there's an app, I think, called Anki. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's digital flashcards. So you find that we have things that we do with them online and things, you know, with paper, but they also come with these recommendations that I can, at a later stage, also tell other students about.
So that's fantastic, because you're kind of developing the offering as it goes.
Yes.
Students bring ideas to you. Students bring the needs to you.
Yes.
So it's an evolving environment. It's not a static, well, we offer this content and it's static, and yeah, you start here and you end here.
Yeah. And I find that with students, if you make them feel like they've got things under control, and I think that's the person-centered
Well, I love your praise of you have a strength-based,
yes,
approach. So yes, where are your strengths as a student, and how do you then,
yes,
build from, yes, from that? So they start with a sense of confidence.
Yes.
Before tackling the areas of difficulty or what they're needing, yes, assistance with.
And that's a mistake we make in higher education. When students arrive here, we tell them, forget everything that you know. That is anxiety provoking, because they've been studying for 12 years, right?
Very true.
So I always say, no, you've got everything that you need. We now need to pivot and sort of add and fine-tune it for the context of university. When we think of time management, you're not going to manage it the same as you did in high school. You also have a situation where you're no longer living at home, right? So now people are calling in, mom is telling you about the stresses here, your little sister needs help with the homework, and that's where the boundaries start to come in. So when you think of your time management, don't think of it as inadequate, but rather see it as it now needs to evolve, because there are other factors that I haven't thought of. And that's when we bring up also things of peer pressure. What is, you know, what is that looking like, and how is that impacting? And then even with study skills, obviously they were used to cramming. So I get them to sort of understand that you've got the basics of studying, right? But how do we now ensure that that is suitable for the context of university, but most importantly for health sciences education? So they leave feeling empowered. Azola didn't give me any magic, but she made me realize I've got the foundation. And when you do that, I think you connect with them quite a lot.
Absolutely. And I think they know now where to build from, yes, as well as, okay, well, now I'm kind of getting this right, I can go back to Azola and get a top up, yes, with another aspect, or you know, how to do something differently, or I'm now having a struggle with this type of content, or,
yes,
go, you know, because every subject also has its own kind of contextual tone around the way it's delivered, how much rote learning has to be memorized versus, yes, how much is applied. So I think it is study skills are evolving,
yes,
based on what they are given to learn and how they're examined at the end of the day.
Yeah.
One of the other things that we're really interested in is what are students coping with and what are they not coping with? Is it changing? I mean, COVID was such a stressful time for everybody, mm-hmm, but there were those stresses have been before, you, yeah, know, students living on bursaries where they're not actually getting access, mm-hmm, to food, and they only get into res, you know, 3 weeks into their, yeah, curriculum. So I think there's been a lot of stresses that have existed for students. Mm. We had COVID, which obviously turned everything upside down. So where are students at? You mentioned you kind of have a bit of a litmus test now with some of the platforms that you're using. Where are our health sciences students at the moment?
They're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed because they're waiting to hear about a formula of how to basically tackle the degrees, right? What is definitely helping is there is a level of self-awareness, and I try instill that in them, because when you're self-aware, you have a better idea of what you're struggling with. Is it language barrier? Is it it's too much information? So they'll mention, you know, subjects like apes, it's content heavy. Mm-hmm. So then when they come into your session, they're able to say, I want to find ways to understand and work through content heavy information, right? And then, you know, they'll complain about your physics formulas, working things out. So they're really overwhelmed because they're waiting for a manual for us to tell them, this, mm-hmm, is how you do university. And of course you calm them down, because there really is no practice for university. Mm-hmm. High school does what it does, and then university does what it does. But some of them really find the extra support very helpful when students go to certain tutorials where they feel information is pitched at a certain level that understands, mm-hmm, where it is that they're at. So I feel they're very much capable, but they do also have other challenges, such as your funding that adds pressure. You know, I promised at home I'd become a doctor, but you're stressed because NASFAS hasn't paid. You're worried at home that they are wondering, when are you going to finish this degree? Why are you failing? And it's hard to articulate that home factors are also affecting how well it is that I'm doing. Because you could be studying and, you know, mom is like, we're hungry here and we're not eating.
And I think the other aspect is that a lot of these students that we have in health sciences now are first-generation university students.
Yes.
They don't have the community at home that has ever been to university in a lot of instances. So the understanding of the demand on their time is measured by school-level expectation in terms of, well, you go to school from 8 till 2, so you've got the rest of the afternoon free. Yes. University is not like that at all. Living away from home is a big adjustment, I think. And really having even the access to the technologies and that. So they come from environments. So some students come from very afforded environments and still don't cope.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we've got a very diverse student body, but it must be a very interesting space to work in, because you see how different students manage and cope with different things, and then how you can apply that with other students.
Yeah. No, definitely. And, you know, we also find that self-concept is also a very important thing there. Mm. The more self-assured a student is, the more they'll actually ask for help. So what ends up being really necessary is also in the way lecturers say, hey, you may come book an appointment with me. It actually really helps, because some say, no, I can't consult, I'm scared of that lecturer, you know. But those that are very sure of themselves, or at least leave your office feeling like, okay, you know what, I can actually do it. She said I can do it. They're then more likely to seek for help again. So that's something that we actually struggle a lot with at university, the help-seeking behavior. And I'm always
frowned upon. There's a bit of a stigma.
Yes.
If you're not coping, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
As opposed to, well, actually, this is why we have an entire Office of Student Success.
Yes.
And it's not there as a, you're not coping, so you have to go there.
Yes.
It's, this is how we build success.
Yes. And in the way I provide support, I'm very careful with the type of words that I use, because sometimes students come once a year, right? And you need to find a way to make an impact during that one session. So I always tell them, university is all about strategy. You got into VITS. You're smart. Mm. I mean, you're fine.
You got it, yeah.
But what is your strategy? You're now dealing with this chemistry. You're dealing with anatomy. What is your strategy? You need to get from point A to point B. So from knowing nothing to knowing stuff to being examined to passing, what is your strategy? So then we start breaking down these strategies. When we look at tutorials, what role do they play? When we look at classrooms, what role does that play? Then we look at the sessions that we provide. So, I mean, one of the things we struggle with our students is they're so marks orientated. Mm. So if it's not for marks, it's like, why should we even bother?
Very true.
So for me, I go back and say, but what's your strategy? So if you're not implementing the strategy in such a way for you to reach your goal, how do you think this is going to work out? And the most important thing about a strategy is you need to review it, right? Mm. So I always say, check in, even with your time management. I can give you all these resources, but every Sunday night, why don't you review how the week went? Was this the best strategy? What could you do differently? And that's the nice thing of, you know, the person-centered approach, the strengths-based approach, because you focus on the individual. Because students come with similar things. But when you personalize what they're struggling with and you make them realize it's not rocket science, what's your strategy? Then they know all they're doing is tweaking the strategy. And it's sound bites. And then at the end of the month, you try to review, wow, the progress that you've made, because you were open to change and tweaking.
And I think that's really important, is telling the student to take that little bit of time to spend with themselves.
Yes.
To look at where they're at this week, what's changed, where they're going, and how this is going to contribute to that big goal at the end of the line.
Definitely.
It was very interesting in our earlier discussions to find out that your name actually means to be calm. And I think it's very fitting that a lot of what you've spoken about is how to instill a calmness in students when they're feeling overwhelmed, when they yes. are stressed, under pressure, trying to juggle all the responsibilities, both at home and in their studies. So is there anything in closing that you would like to share with us?
Well, I think what blended learning has allowed in student support is for us to keep a pulse on how students are doing and how it is that they're engaging with material and how much it is that they know. So, for example, we have the Okutula app, and that's an OSS app where students can find coping strategies on there. They can find emotional well-being content on there, and they can also find academic support content, such as your academic skills on there. So it's really trying to move with them because they're all about apps, and then trying to find this, you know, quick button that they can press. We also have a project called Umsebenzi, and it's an employability project, and we're launching it via a podcast. I don't know if you know Dr. Coffee. He's hosting us, and we're doing a Preparing for Work podcast for our students to get a sense of what is it like to go into the world of work. So again, the use of the podcast is, hey, you guys are really listening to this stuff. Come and attend our event, and students will get an opportunity to engage with a panel of professionals who have been through similar journeys. So for me, it's really be patient with the students, but try engage them in such a way that is going to be impactful, as blended learning has done. But more than anything, moving with the times, not just with the content, but with the platforms and the technologies available.
I think it's very inspiring how the Office of Student Success has embraced innovation,
yes,
embraced technology, and are really seeking to make a difference in every single student's yeah. journey through health professions, their health professions programs. So thank you so much, Azola, for joining us today. We've really enjoyed the conversation. I've learned a lot about where the Office of Student Success actually has an impact on our students. I love that there's a pulse, which goes a lot with the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to have you back once we hear more about the new innovations in the future, and especially this launch.
Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to it.
So this was the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. We had in studio with us Azola Khalo, who is from the Office of Student Success, telling us a little bit about how they're innovating and using blended learning to support students through their learning journey.